offensive linemen here. I have to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with offensive lines in the NFL. And one of the most difficult things, especially when I'm blogging, when I'm trying to judge how well an offensive line is doing, whether it's pass protection or run blocking or whatever, I feel like I run into a lot of difficulty telling how much is their responsibility and how much is on, you know, the player they're trying to protect or trying to block for. Now, you know, Chris Johnson is having an abysmal season so far, and he got frustrated, I guess, about a week ago, and he said, well, you know, it's the line, basically, saying that they're not doing their job. So help us, first of all, if you want to give your comments on what you think is going on with Chris Johnson, I definitely welcome that. But also, let me know, how do we judge offensive lines and how well they're doing?
Well, there's several things that are going on with Chris Johnson's situation. And the first thing that comes to mind is here you have a situation where you have a guy who came in late. Now, this is a new offense that Chris is learning, which means there are new schemes. And we also have a lockout situation. So he wasn't there for training camp. And now you have a different kind of scheme that he's running in. So there are going to be problems there. I think there's value in his argument, even though I don't think he should be saying it, but I guess he's feeling pressure because everybody's on about the contract, and you know how they like, you know, the haterade is flying around, so you understand that when you get paid, you got to play. But if you look at where he's getting tackled, 60% of the time he's getting tackled in the backfield.
Yeah, he's getting stuffed. There's stuff,
No, not just stuff, in the backfield. Somebody popping through and hitting Chris Johnson. Right. So there is a measure of blame that certainly goes there. Right. But the other part of it is again, goes back to this offense. And I know the guy ran for 2,000 yards. Yeah. And if I'm the coach, I'm finding what he did and the schemes that they used when he ran for the 2,000 yards.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do. I can't say that that's exactly what is happening in Tennessee, but those are the kind of commitments and that's the kind of research that I would do.
Right.
The formation, I mean, I would go back to whatever they were doing. That's what I would do. And I can't
say these teams are saying straight out and out that when they, like Ray Lewis, when the Ravens played the Titans, Ray said, we didn't look at anybody but Chris Johnson. We studied
Chris
Johnson all week.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And how they're blocking and protecting for Chris Johnson. That's also vitally important. So there's some disconnect there. To me, it's understandable to a certain extent. Why? Because he wasn't there. New offense. You got to learn the offense. You got to learn the subtleties of the offense. And so when you put all of those things together, it does make sense to me why he's struggling some. But I did expect to see more explosion plays out of him. But I think they could collectively take the blame for what's going on.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about how we assign blame.
You assign blame based on, in your head, number one, let's talk about, okay, the running game. Pick up right where we left off with Chris Johnson.
Okay.
If guys are popping through the line and hitting the running back before he gets to the line of scrimmage, that's easy. There's line issues there.
Right.
You take Michael Vick or some of the quarterbacks that are out there, is that when he plants his back foot, he's having to make some kind of adjustment as soon as he plants that back foot as opposed to looking downfield. You can assess blame from that perspective. You get a guy back to, like, for example, Big Ben does this quite often. Big Ben will pat that ball. He'll sit back there and hold that thing. And so sometimes the blame goes to him. Aaron Rodgers early on was holding on to the ball too long. And so a lot of the sacks, or you could blame half the sacks that were happening for the Green Bay Packers on Aaron Rodgers and part on the offensive line. But now Aaron is getting that ball out and all of a sudden his sacks have been coming down. When you look at that situation, that's how you best judge how well a team is doing. I mean, the eye test kind of tells it all. If it's a jailbreak real quick,
Blame
the line. Or the back, for that matter, who didn't pick up a blitz. But if you're seeing the quarterback be able to drop back, take first option, second option, third option, that ball's supposed to be out. Anything that happens after that, it's on him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. So before I let you go, I want you to talk a little bit about Reggie White.
Yeah.
I just finally caught the Football Life documentary about his friendship with Jerome Brown, and of course, just touched my heart. It was such a good. Are you still in touch with his wife at all?
No, I haven't talked to Sarah in a number of years, but Reggie was really one of the prime catalysts for us launching, you know, what we were doing with the Put Up Your Dukes Foundation, and ultimately, I'm gonna get with Sarah on some things as we start going into some other markets. To roll this plan out, but to talk about the piece, you know, it's funny is I actually forgot, You know, as you get a little seasoned, these things will happen. It'll happen to you. Don't worry about it. I forgot some of those things. So it brought back so many vivid memories. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, kind of brought back to remembrance for me is that when JB would come through Atlanta, you know, we were thick as thieves. And we played against each other in college. So I played against him 3 times in college. He was all American.
Wow, okay.
I was an all American. We were very, very good friends. And so when it happened, the thing about JB was he was just wild, gregarious person, but he was a wild side kind of guy, that John Dean type that lived life really fast. They tell stories about, cause he loved speed. He loved cars, fast cars. That was his vice. And so it was, you know, fitting to a certain extent that that's what really kind of, you know, it was the speed that actually killed him when it was all said and done, down there in Brooksville. But he was a great guy, a fun guy, to be around, had a great heart, and it was just really sad. And
yeah, I enjoyed those clips from him joking around
Yeah. And the thing about it is, you know, we all were kind of thick as thieves. And now Reggie was a total different situation. Because I played with Reggie in Green Bay, and we had known each other over the years, but we really got a chance to, bond, so to speak, through our relationship being teammates with the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, the thing about Reggie was the first thing that comes to mind is conviction. Everything he did, or passion. He was passionate about everything he did. Everything that he was about helping people. It was about making a difference. And it's unfortunate. Sometimes people don't understand your passion. And sometimes Reggie was never kind of a politically correct kind of a person. He had his values and he stood on his values no matter what. And if people didn't like it, he didn't care. And I think that, for example, you know, what happened when he spoke at the legislature in Green Bay, I think that got blown out of proportion. It was opening that window up for those folks who, were looking to get that gotcha. It opened that window when he meant no harm. His speech was out of love. Everything he did was out of love.
But you don't get that part. And especially with the media has changed now so that, like, you know, there's not really a whole lot of excuse for people to not get a full sense of someone who is pretty famous. But back then, and I was very young at that time, but I didn't even get, this is what I loved about the Football Life documentary, is that I didn't get the nurturing part of him. Like, I got the passion part. I got, I got the good heart, the good person part, but I didn't get how concerned he was about other people, that this was just coming from that kind of place. So I appreciated that. And I agree with what you're saying, that, like, it was the sort of gotcha thing. It was taking advantage of the fact that people maybe didn't understand him as a complete person at all.
Yeah, that's where we are in this day and age. Yeah. I mean, that's unfortunate. That's where we are. With the internet and the things there, unfortunately, some people don't understand, you know, what integrity is, and they're more concerned about breaking a story and twisting and manipulating a story so that they can, get their, the fantasy on, so to speak. So that's kind of where we are today.
Well, my last question is, what's it like being part of that fraternity of such a great time in football? I mean, I feel like I always say, like, you know, basketball is a sport, tennis is a sport, football is a religion. That's my little that's my little saying. But so I guess all years of football really are great. But you played during a really great time.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, like, some would say that you go back to the North Dallas 40 days when it was really wild, the wild, wild west, and you didn't have the media. You know, I was at the very, we kind of were at the very beginning of this media explosion that we have now. But, I think that I was in the era of arguably the best athletes.
Yeah.
You look at the prime time, Deion Sanders, when you look at kind of athletes, the quarterback play across the board, you know, as well, and I don't mean to take anything from Aaron Rodgers, as well as he's playing. The reality is nobody can cover. That's a problem. Nobody can cover. Corner position or at safety. So because of all the problems that you have there, it just leaves itself. I mean, the league is just in a different place. And so while you're seeing more offensive numbers and more production come out of people, the great Warren Sapp, come over here for a second, Warren.
Yes,
we're
sir.
Blogging. Just blog here. And this is
oh,
the great.
Oh, look, Warren, I get it 2-for-1.
2-for-1.
2-for-1. That's how I go. That's how I go.
I was telling
them, they cuss me out every Saturday at Twitter, be like, why you hate the four? And I'm like, that's Jamie Dukes. That's not Warren Sapp. I know it's not all it's looking like, but it's not the same guy. I see.
So I don't know if I can handle both of y'all, so I'm glad he
Well, Warren's a lot lighter on his feet than I am.
A little bit.
But okay. I'm much younger looking though.
Okay. I love that. Well, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
I appreciate it. This was fun.
Sure. Good. Anytime.